After a few meters, the pull of the water lessened. He was able to make headway against it. He saw a lightning above. Sunlight. He swam toward it eagerly. The dappled pattern seemed to beckon him. He burst above the surface of the water. Ahead, he saw a booming waterfall spilling down from a cliff above. That was the source of the powerful current both above and below the surface. Anakin waited until his master broke the surface and then struck out toward the bank. He pulled himself up onto dry land. He ripped the breather from his mouth and gasped for breath. Water streamed off his clothes and the ends of his hair as he bent over, gathering his strength. Beside him, Obi-Wan was doing the same. "The Malia Den, and now this," Anakin said when he could speak. He shook his head, sending water droplets flying. "Did I misinterpret the clues, Master? They seem so clear." "No, I think we went the right way off the trail," Obi-Wan said. "But we shouldn't have gone through the cavern. Jedi clues are designed to be difficult, not life-threatening." Anakin flushed. It was his fault. In his impatience to impress his master, he had rushed into the Malia Den and into the cavern. But Obi-Wan wouldn't say anything. That was the trouble. It was worse for Anakin to have to wonder what his master was thinking. Obi-Wan scanned the surrounding area. No doubt Ren used a cable launcher to vault the cliff face. "But I didn't see any marks above," Anakin said. "Wouldn't the launcher have scarred the rock face?" "Let's return and examine the cliff again," Obi-Wan decided. "I'd rather not take another dip," Anakin said with a shiver. "We can climb the hill here," Obi-Wan said, scanning the steep incline that rose from the bank. "That will bring us on top of the cliff overlooking the cavern." They climbed up the steep incline, occasionally using their cable launchers. The sunlight dried their clothes and hair and warmed them as they climbed high above the water. At last, they reached the top of the cliff. Anakin stood at the top. From here, he had a commanding view of the waterfall below, and in the distance, the valley. Still more mountains rose behind him. He turned and found the overlook to the forest's edge below. It didn't take him long to find where Ren had been. "Look, Master, he was here," he said, pointing to a place where the grass was flattened. "He could have been watching from above while we stood there." "Possibly," Obi-Wan said. "There was no way for him to know that the cavern would flood, I suppose." "At least we know for sure that we have him," Anakin said. His master still looked uncertain. "Don't we?" "Let's follow the trail," Obi-Wan said. Anakin moved to track Ren's progress over the top of the cliff. A trail led into the mountains, and he began to trudge up it. He could sense that his master was uneasy. Something was bothering him, but Obi-Wan did not confide. "He never does," Anakin thought. "How can we get closer if he keeps all his thoughts to himself?" He had to speak or he would burst. Anakin stopped and turned around. "You never tell me what you're thinking," he said. Obi-Wan stopped. "You should be careful when you use words like never and always, Padawan," he said. "Things are rarely so absolute. You should be more precise. Clarity of mind is important for a Jedi." "Another lesson. Must there be so many?" "Yes, Master." Anakin turned and continued up the mountain. He had only gone a few meters when he realized that Obi-Wan had never addressed what he'd said. That's because he knows it's true. He had perfect communication with Qui-Gon, and he knows he can never achieve that with me. He had been right all along. This exercise was a waste of time. The trail rose higher, and the temperature began to drop. The sun still warmed them, so they did not need their thermal capes. But above, Anakin could see the snowy peaks, and he knew if they kept climbing at this rate, they would encounter snow by dusk. Anakin felt shivers on the back of his neck. But it wasn't the temperature. Something was wrong. He tested the feeling. The force was like a net closing around him. The trees seemed to hang over the trail, menacing them. The sky seemed lower. "We're being watched. And whoever it was wasn't another Jedi." Anakin glanced at Obi-Wan. He did not move his head, only his eyes, so that if someone were watching, they would not see even a wordless communication. Obi-Wan's gaze told him everything he needed to know. He, too, felt the presence of someone. Obi-Wan stopped, and Anakin did the same. "We should split up," he said, in a tone loud enough to carry, but not too loud to be obvious. "We're getting nowhere. I'll head back, and you continue ahead." "Yes, Master." Anakin knew that Obi-Wan would double back in order to trap whoever was following them. Obi-Wan moved back down the trail, and Anakin continued on. He did not feel fear or alarm. He felt ready for whatever would come. He reached out to the Force beyond the trail, beyond his immediate surroundings. He took in the planet in a way he was learning to do. There was darkness here, but the feeling was confused. He could not pinpoint why or how the Force was affected. That was the trouble, Anakin thought ruefully. He could access the Force easily. Interpreting it was another matter. At such times, he fully realized why he was still a Padawan and not a Jedi. He was on a switchback trail now that hugged the mountain as it rose. As Anakin turned a corner, the trail behind him would disappear. The rocks rose steeply on his left, and a sheer drop was on his right. If he met whoever was following him, the battle would be tricky. And how would Obi-Wan manage to set up an ambush on this kind of terrain? Anakin was busy thinking these thoughts when he turned the next corner and saw the flash of a weapon. It was held by a young woman in a gray cloak that blended with the rocks. "Don't come any farther," she said in a clear voice. "I promise you, I know how to use this, and it is aimed straight at your heart." Chapter 5. Anakin waited. The Force was around him, rising up from the ground beneath his feet and the forest below. It was not strong in the girl. Anakin guessed she was close to his age. She was afraid, he suddenly knew. He felt her fear ripple out and touch him, as clearly as if she had put out a hand. And he felt something else. His master was near. Obi-Wan was above him. He needed to keep the girl's attention on him. "Why do you want to shoot me?" he asked in a reasonable tone. "Do not try to trick me," she said. "I know you've been following me. I know you killed my friends and my teacher." Now her voice wobbled slightly. "I won't let you kill me, too." Anakin saw a blur above. It was his master, leaping down from the sheer cliff above. Obi-Wan dropped behind the girl and disarmed her in a move so fast she did not have time to turn or even take a breath. Obi-Wan tossed the weapon to Anakin. "You know how to use a hydro spanner?" Anakin asked in disbelief. "I didn't have a real weapon," she said in a small voice. "Were you threatening to kill me or fix my speeder?" Anakin asked. He couldn't believe he had been fooled by a hydro spanner. What kind of Jedi was he? In answer, the girl suddenly whirled and tried to throw herself down the sheer drop. Obi-Wan had anticipated the move and simply reached out with one hand and stopped her. "That's not a solution," he said. "We're not going to hurt you. Maybe we can even help you." Anakin took a few steps closer. "What happened? What do you mean somebody killed your friends?" The girl pulled her cloak around her. Her hood fell back, and waves of long blonde hair spilled down her back. "My name is Floria," she said. "I'm from the planet Aeton, only half day's journey from here. Young people from my planet often go on survival camping trips on Ragoon 6 when we reach 14 years of age. We have a special allowance from the Senate because we gave the elders of Ragoon refuge when they handed the planet over to the Senate. My group arrived yesterday. I was separated from them. We were on a hike and I got lost." Floria's eyes suddenly filled with tears. "When I returned, the ship..." "Go on," Obi-Wan prompted. She swallowed. "Was completely burned," she said in a whisper. "I knew we were supposed to meet back there for the evening meal. I'm afraid my friends and my teacher were in it. Someone blew it up." "You're sure they were inside?" She twisted her hands together.